We're doing the Rambam's Taryag Mitzvos. We're doing the prohibitions. We're up to the 11th prohibition. Shelo lakim matzeva. The Torah says, "Velo takim necha matzeva." You're not allowed to set up a one stone altar, because that's the way the pagans would set up their altars. So God hates that. He says, no one stone altar. The 12th mitzvah is we're prohibited from setting up an even maskit. Even maskit was a type of floor in which they'd bow on. Very often mosaic floors were used for that, as a floor with a design, or a floor that was dedicated to the worship of a certain god or a certain idol. So we are prohibited from establishing a specific floor, a specific flooring for worship like that. That's why we don't bow on our feet, because we never know where there was a floor here in Israel that was dedicated for bowing to idols. And you're not allowed to bow on a floor that was dedicated that way, so we don't bow on any floor. The 13th mitzvah is a prohibition of planting a tree on the Temple Mount. The Torah says, "Lo tita lecha ashera kol etz etzel mizbach Hashem." Don't plant an asherah, that's a tree that was used to worship, nor should you plant any tree up by God's home. One of the pagan customs was they would plant trees around their temples, and that was an indication that that's where the temple was. They try to plant these high trees that could be seen from a distance, and that was one of the ways of designating a temple of worship. So the Torah says, no planting trees near the Mikdash. The 14th mitzvah is we're prohibited from taking a vow by an idol or by its worshippers, nor do we make other people take vows by their names. And that's why there was an arrangement made when a person has to testify in court in the U.S. Initially, they would make him put his hand on a Christian Bible. And then we achieved a situation where you can have a Jewish Bible, or you can say, "I affirm." You don't have to put your hand. You shouldn't put your hand on a Bible and take a vow. But this prohibition is not to take a vow by the name of any pagan god or any of its worshippers. The 15th mitzvah is the prohibition to mislead people. A person can sometimes mislead people and tell them, sure, this god has these powers, and he can cause people to go astray. So there's a biblical prohibition, punishable by the death penalty, to mislead people in religious matters, to mislead people to paganism. That's the prohibition of l'adiach. This is one of the prohibitions, this is unique, that even without warning, a person can get the death penalty. Meaning if we've heard that so-and-so is trying to convince people to join a certain cult or a certain pagan way of worship, so then the courts will establish two witnesses behind the fence, or, you know, they'll listen in, and then they'll set them up. You know, they'll perform a sting. They'll say, "Hey, what were you telling me the other day?" And they'll get it on record, and then they'll give them the death penalty. This is very unusual. Ordinarily, we warn a person before he does a transgression and before we punish it. The 16th mitzvah is the prohibition of instigating someone in the direction of idol worship. The 17th mitzvah, the difference between mesit and mediach, is just whether you do it to an individual or to the public. Meaning when one tries to convince more than one person, that's called a mediach. When one tries to convince one person, that's a mesit. The 17th mitzvah is a warning. The Torah says if someone is out there trying to convince other people to go pagan ways, there's a biblical prohibition from liking that person. The person's going to do whatever he can to be charismatic and nice and sweet, and the courts might feel bad for him, and people might feel bad for him. The Torah says no. You are prohibited from liking him. Interesting mitzvah. Not allowed to like such a person. Because then you let people get away with it. Very often you have a nebuch, you have a guy who's like, and then he walks in and tries to sell you a load of goods. And people feel bad for him and they let him get away with it. And you never know where that'll lead to. So the Torah says, no, here you can't have compassion for him. The 18th mitzvah is not to let go of our enmity for such a person. Look at how far the Torah takes it. You have to realize he's a threat, he's a danger, you have to hate him, and you're not allowed to let go of that hatred. Wow. Okay,
it has to be defined, right? I mean, it's not, okay. We're looking to do harm.
We're looking to kill him. We're looking to kill him. The guy who's trying to convince people to go pagan ways.
Oh, I thought you said the Biscayne.
No, I'm saying sometimes, who does this? You know, you have a guy who can't make a cent. He's very unskilled at everything he does. Like he always rubs people the wrong way. And then he discovers that if he joins the cult of Messianic Jews, they'll pay him, you know, a high salary for convincing people to... So he comes in and he tries in his nebuch ways to say, you know, maybe you should...
But he's
got to
join that cult first. He's got his own mother.
Not necessarily.
If he's just somebody who's a Biscayne, who's coming in and he's difficult.
Right. Anyway. Okay, let's just do one more mitzvah. The 19th mitzvah is not to save him. Ordinarily, we try to find ways out for a person. Even when he's about to get the death penalty, we try to find a way. Maybe there was a mistake. And here we have two mitzvot, the 19th and 20th mitzvah. One is not to prevent him from getting the death penalty, and one is not to try to find an angle of maybe room to judge him favorably. Even though in any other case of death penalty, we do. In this case, we say this is a danger to our future, and this person should be viewed as a danger and treated as such. The Torah prohibits looking for ways out for him. Now,